So, Joe, tell me about the place you're staying in Copenhagen now.
Well, I'm here in Copenhagen for the first time, and I'm looking out the window of a beautiful Airbnb apartment, and each morning I wake up to a sunrise over these rooftops back over here behind me, and when I step out into the street, I actually feel like I don't feel like an outsider. I feel like I kind of live in Copenhagen, which is kind of a liberating feeling for someone who's never been here before.
Is that one of the benefits of using an Airbnb stay?
Absolutely. I think the Airbnb allows people to not only access the world, but actually when you travel to a city, to embed yourself in the fabric of that city. And you actually feel like you're a part of it instead of feeling like an outsider or tourist. I think because Airbnbs are scattered throughout all types of neighborhoods, even here in Copenhagen, people have the choice and the option to stay in places that they otherwise didn't have access to. And so when you're staying in a place that's a residence, when you're staying in an apartment like this one, and you step into the street, to your left is a resident, to your right is a resident, it makes you feel like a resident. In fact, last time I was in New York City, I stayed on Airbnb, and when I walked out into the street in Greenwich Village, somebody came up to me asking for directions on where to go.
So you really look like a local.
You truly feel and look like a local. It's kind of like you're in disguise.
But originally when you started Airbnb, because you are one of the founders, it was more about the money, saving money, wasn't it?
It started in 2008 to help us save our apartment. We had quit our jobs to be entrepreneurs, and the same week our rent had gone up 25%. So here we were, two entrepreneurs, with a big problem. We couldn't pay our rent. And so we had a matter of days to figure out how to save our apartment. And it just so happens that same weekend, a major design conference was coming to San Francisco. The conference was so big that the hotels had sold out in the city. And we started to think, designers need a place to stay this weekend. And here we have all this extra space in our apartment. We don't have any extra beds, but we have air beds. What if we blew up those air beds and rented them out for designers looking for a place to stay? So by the end of the first night of this having this idea, we came up with the concept of airbed and breakfast. By day two, we made the website airbedandbreakfast.com. By day three, it got press and coverage on design blogs. People were writing about how you could stay with Joe and Brian in San Francisco for the design conference this weekend. And so in a matter of 48 hours, it went from concept, this little tiny idea in our brains, to something that people were talking about across the design community on the internet. And by day five, we had three people sleeping in our living room.
It went pretty fast.
It went extremely fast. And it wasn't by, you know, this is entrepreneurs solving a problem, you know, in real time. We had days to make rent. So for us, this wasn't optional. We had to move extremely fast. And so there were two big learnings that came out of this weekend experiment. The first was that this was extremely financially rewarding. You know, we made close to $1,000, and that was enough to help us save our apartment. So just by renting the extra space in our apartment, we were able to pay our rent.
How did you manage to get to the next step and get other people to actually rent out their apartments?
Well, it didn't stop at the financial part. There was a second learning. The second learning was how socially rewarding this was. Because here were three people, three designers that we otherwise never would have met, who stayed in our apartment for a couple days, and they became friends. They shared stories with us. They shared tips on web design to help us improve the website. And the three of them really inspired us to say, hey, what if we made a website where other people could do this too? What if we made a site where anyone around the world could rent their extra space in their apartment, and people traveling to a destination or a city could actually book that space? That was the big idea.
But we have previously before this seen home exchange or other ways of sharing your apartment. How is Airbnb different to that?
Well, we wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to list their space, for people to discover spaces, and then to book the spaces. And so what that means is that on Airbnb, you can actually book an apartment using your credit card or PayPal account or you just book it online. And that was one of the big innovations.
The people who book these apartments, do they have an exchange before they meet? Do they manage to look at each other and see, is this a person I want to have in my house?
Yes. So Airbnb is based on really three things that make it work: profiles, payments, and reviews. So profiles, everyone at Airbnb has a profile. You can connect via Facebook, can import your social graph, and we actually have a special feature called social connections, which we can show you when you connect with Facebook. We can show you how you're connected to hosts on Airbnb. We can tell you if you have a mutual friend in common. We can tell you if a friend of yours had stayed there and left a public review. And we can tell you if you're in the same university alumni network. So we actually have 177 million social connections on Airbnb. And there's a good chance that most of the listeners out there know someone who's used Airbnb before and can actually leverage social connections to see how they're connected to people all over the world. The second thing is payments. Because we facilitate the payment, it means that guests pay Airbnb, we hold the money, and we pay the host 24 hours after you check in. And what this does is it ensures that the property is exactly what was featured, what was pictured on the website. If it's not, the host doesn't get paid. The third thing is the review system. So after every stay, the guests and the hosts leave feedback for each other. And what happens is hosts build up these really rich reputations on the site. You can see these stories of previous guests. And the thing about a review system is it's transaction-based, which means that you can only leave a review if you pay through our system and you actually stay there. So these three things, profiles, payments, and reviews, all work together to make Airbnb come to life. And in fact, there's something else too, which would be 24/7 customer service. So we're always a phone call or email away. And now, in you know, being here in Copenhagen, we can support the local language too.
So tell me about the reason why you are in Copenhagen right now.
So the reason we decided to open office in Copenhagen was really to follow the momentum. We had, I think it was 800% growth in Copenhagen just last year alone. And we needed a good hub for the Nordic region. And there was something about Copenhagen that really stuck out to us because it is such a forward-thinking city. The people, the Danes, the people of Copenhagen, the people of Denmark, tend to adopt technology and new ideas quicker than other kind of cultures, I think. And so it was a combination of this momentum of people using Airbnb here in Copenhagen as hosts and guests, along with this notion and this observation that the Danes just get technology and they love new ideas.
And what if you don't live in Copenhagen, but in some other part of Denmark?
Well, we have listings all across the country. I was just looking yesterday. We have like a fisherman's house up on the northern coast. There's Airbnb listings scattered throughout the entire country. So it's certainly not limited to Copenhagen. There are actually no geographical limitations on Airbnb. If you can find it on a Google map, you can list it in our marketplace.
So what's the future for Airbnb?
Well, the future for Airbnb, we've now booked 5 million nights. So there's been 5 million guest nights booked on Airbnb since our inception. 4 million of those happened in 2011. So you get a sense of the momentum that's happening. And the reason for this is that Airbnb is based around network effects. We have a very strong presence with word of mouth. People use Airbnb to, you know, save money or to make money as a host, and they soon discover how enriching the experience is. And when you have an enriching experience that kind of opens your eyes to something new, or is it something new and novel, you tend to tell people about it. And that's exactly what has happened over the last couple of years. So it was kind of slow to start. And if you look at the graph, you know, it's very flat at the beginning. And then all of a sudden, within the last year and a half, it shoots up like a rocket exponentially. And it's because of network effects, because we now have a critical mass of people using Airbnb all over the world. We're in 192 countries, 19,000 cities worldwide. That means that there are people in every major city on the planet using Airbnb, having amazing experiences and telling their friends about it. And so what's happened is we've hit this kind of tipping point where there's a network effect at play, where people experience the site as a guest, they go back to their country or their city, and they say, oh my gosh, I have extra space in my apartment. What if I list it on the service? What if I list it with Airbnb? And we start to see this kind of multiplier effect of listings going up, people telling their friends and using the service.
On our show, we regularly talk about funding of tech startups and of the value of tech startups. Recently, of course, we talked about Facebook's IPO and in relation to that, what's the financial situation of Airbnb?
So the financial situation is, if you go way back to the beginning, 2008, when myself, Brian, and Nate started the company, those are my two co-founders, we sought investment from Silicon Valley investors. And we got introductions to about 20 investors. 10 of them returned our calls. 5 of them met with us. And all of them passed on investing on us. And suddenly we found ourselves in a predicament. The website wasn't making enough money to support us, and we didn't have any full-time jobs. This was our full-time job. So we resorted to whatever we could. And at the time, it was our credit cards. And we each racked up close to $15,000 in credit card debt just to fund the company. And that was a very kind of painful moment for us. Every month you get a credit card bill that's bigger than the month before it, and there's kind of no hope in sight of how you're going to pay it off. And it was a bit daunting, but I think we knew if we could just stick with it, that one day millions of people around the world would use this type of service. We just had to stick. We couldn't give up. And the reason we couldn't give up is because we could always go back to that experience of our three guests staying in our apartment, and we could remember how exciting it was and how fulfilling and enriching it was for us to host those three people. And we said, there've got to be other people out there who would also enjoy this experience. We just have to stick with this. And one day, like, we'll figure it out eventually. So we funded the company on credit cards. We called it the Visa round. And that got us to the next point, which was a seed program called Y Combinator in Silicon Valley. And it's run by a gentleman named Paul Graham. And every year he accepts a couple companies into the program. And for 3 months, you focus on your startup. You focus on building out your idea. And so we were fortunate enough to get into the program. And it gives you a small bit of money. But the most important thing it gave us was structure. It gave us structure, a three-month kind of program to figure out how to get this website working. Because in the early days, it wasn't working. Traffic was flat. Revenue was flat. We were making $200 a week, which for three guys in San Francisco doesn't cut it. So thankfully, during Y Combinator, we started to figure out how to get this marketplace going. We started to connect with our community. And we did something that was unconventional at the time. And I think it's unconventional to tech startups and to Silicon Valley. And the thing that we did that was unconventional was we did things that didn't scale. Because when you're starting a tech company, there is this notion that when you solve a problem, you have to do it in a way that's scalable. So when you have 100,000 or a million or more users, whatever time you invested can apply to a million people. And so for us, we kind of fell into that trap as well. And for the first couple months of the company, we sat behind our computer screens trying to solve problems. And finally, during Y Combinator, Paul Graham essentially gave us permission to do things that didn't scale. And suddenly we're like, oh, wow. Well, if we do things that don't scale, we can actually leave the office. We can leave our computers and go meet our community, go meet the people using our service. And at the time, the majority of those people were in New York. So we would travel to New York. We would throw meetups and parties. We would go visit all the hosts on our site. We only had 100 at the time, so this was actually possible. And we focused on this concept of finding 100 people that loved Airbnb rather than trying to find a million people that kind of liked it. So the concept was, and I think this applies to almost every startup, how can you find 100 people that fall in love with your company, that fall in love with your product, your brand? That is so much more important than a million people that kind of like it.
And how could those 100 people help you in your financial predicament?
Well, what happened is we found 100 people that loved us in New York City. And they became, you know, they were hosts on the site renting their apartments. And what happened was pretty incredible. When you love a company, you tend to tell people about it. And sure enough, they did. They told their neighbors, they told their family members, their colleagues at work. And suddenly we started to see our inventory in New York City expand organically. We weren't, you know, investing in any marketing. We weren't doing anything from our end. This was pure organic growth. What we invested in was our community. We invested in forming, you know, love relationships with our early community, our early users. And what happened is the inventory began to expand in New York. And when the inventory expanded, people, you know, even from Copenhagen, felt comfortable booking in New York. And so people started to travel from all over the world to visit New York City. And when they did that, they got the concept of Airbnb in their head, and they went home to, you know, cities like Copenhagen, and they said, oh my gosh, I could add a listing on Airbnb. And so we started to see these listings pop up all over the world. And we're like, wow, how did somebody in Copenhagen find out about Airbnb? Oh my gosh, look at their account. They booked in New York City 3 weeks ago. And so that's how this network effect started, was in New York.
But let's get back to the money. Okay. Where are you with the money?
So we've since to date, we've raised $120 million US. And at each point of each financing, I think we've only raised money at Airbnb when we've known exactly what we're going to spend it on. And I think this just goes back to our roots. When you found a company off of credit cards, it embeds an incredible level of frugality in you. You have a deep respect for money. And so for us, we've only raised money when we've known exactly what we're going to spend it on. So we spend a lot of time like experimenting and trying things out, being very scrappy, hustling, like all the things that make us a startup. And when we land on the things that work, we can start to do some calculations. Say, okay, well, it costs us this much to do it this far. If we want to expand it this much further, it's going to cost this much. Okay, well, let's go raise some money and do that. And so for us, what we're experiencing right now is this incredible international growth. And for, you know, so we raised some money to help truly support this international momentum. You know, last year things tipped for us. We no longer became a domestic business in the United States. 75% of our business now happens internationally. And so, well, let's go become an international company. That's why we're opening 7 offices, including the one in Copenhagen, so that we can truly support our international business.
And how is Airbnb making money?
So the way it works is when you book a room on the site, when you book an accommodation, you pay Airbnb. You can use your credit card, your PayPal account, your bank account. The money goes to Airbnb, and we hold it until we pay out the host. In that process, we take a transaction fee. So for the guest, it's 6 to 12%. And before we pay the host, we withhold 3%. And the reason that it's 6 to 12% for the guest is the more you spend on the site, the lower our fee to help guests save money. So if you book a, you know, $5,000 reservation, we charge a lower fee.
So do you have any plans of eventually selling the company?
No plans at all. We think, you know, we're growing Airbnb to be a very large independent company.
Could you imagine the traditional hotel business would suddenly get their eyes on you and say, well, maybe we should expand our business with this new way of people staying in other cities, and then we should, maybe the Hilton will come and buy you.
Well, you know, a lot of people compare us to hotels. I think if you have a pie chart of all, you know, the hotel accommodations in the city, we don't think of ourselves as competition to that pie chart. We don't think we're taking a cut of that pie. We actually think we're taking the pie and we're making the pie bigger. We're actually adding more inventory to cities. We're making cities more accessible to tourists and to travelers. And so for us, it's about creating more choice, creating more options for people, making travel more accessible. And when you do it through Airbnb, making that travel more authentic and more local.
Joe, in 2 months, I'm going to San Francisco. Can I stay with you?
I am a host on Airbnb. I do have a listing in San Francisco. I've hosted about 150 people over the last couple of years. You're more than welcome to stay at the, it's called the Soma Loft. And It's one of, I think, about 3,000 listings in San Francisco. I'd be happy to host you.
See you then. Thank you.